Hi, and thank you for joining the New Wealth Experience. I'm Nancy Batty, co-host of Jenith Blockert's New Wealth Experience. I'm delighted to introduce our guest for tonight. However, just before I do, just a couple of reminders. The New Wealth Experience meets nightly, Monday to Thursday, at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. The call-in details remain the same, and replays are available at newwealthexperience.com/replay. Our current show can be found via the web or by phone at newwealthexperience.com/now. So come on and jump on into our live community chat so this can be truly an interactive experience for you. And additionally, our offer for tonight, which we will speak about towards the end of our call, you can find the link at newwealthexperience.com/Derek. And Derek is spelled D-E-R-E-K. And with that, our program for tonight is titled Wealth on Demand, The Secret to Never-Ending Abundance. And I am excited and privileged to introduce to you Derek Riedel. After a life-changing brush-with-death experience, Derek Riedel considered becoming a monk, then a minister, then cloistered himself in his apartment without TV or news and meditated for several years. Finally emerging to become a licensed integrative therapist, a professional writer, and adopt a monk, well, that's another story, he went on to train top executives at Fortune 500 companies such as American Express and others. In relationship and communication skills, coached thousands of writers, artists, and entertainment professionals on how to create more enlightened entertainment, and has worked with a diverse array of people around the planet, helping them to live a more passionate, purposeful life. As a professional writer, Derek has ghostwritten 6 books and authored 2 of his own, the Amazon bestsellers, I Couldn't Have Written a Better Movie Than That, and There's No Business Like Soul Business, A Spiritual Path to Enlightenment, Screenwriting, Filmmaking, and Performing Arts, which received rave reviews by top artists and entertainment professionals. And he's currently even working on his next book, The Law of Emergence, A Revolutionary Principle for Achieving Your Full Potential. As a licensed spiritual therapist and teacher, Derek has held leadership positions at Agape International Spiritual Center, which is home of Michael Beckwith from the movie The Secret, one of the nation's largest communities with over 10,000 members and a worldwide network. He has been a star speaker to top writing and entertainment expos, led sold-out writing and personal development courses at various venues. Derek has written articles for various online and offline magazines and has been interviewed on numerous radio and TV programs. His networks, contacts, and reach is broad and diverse, enabling him to touch tens of thousands with his mission to awaken individuals to their true identity, inspire them to fulfill their destiny, and together build a world that works for the highest good of all. His latest work, The Law of Emergence, takes you beyond self-improvement to access your true potential and higher purpose. And with that, Derek, welcome, and how are you tonight?
Great. I think the call is almost over, isn't it?
I know. I just, you know what? I was going to cut it short, and I thought, yeah, I can't do that. You have just such brilliance to share with everybody. I was so excited that I tripped over my tongue a couple of times because I was like, oh, my goodness, this man's amazing. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's my honor to be here. As I was mentioning to you just before the call, I was in a workshop this weekend doing a lot of talking and shouting, and so my voice is a little bit rough, but I'm in great health and spirits, and it's just my voice has been used a lot, so but it's ready to be used some more.
Right on, right on. Well, you know what? We have such a loving audience that we'll be very gentle with you, and we're all here to connect with one another, and it's all about the love and where spirit's going to take us, and so we're just going to have some fun and play together tonight. So
awesome.
So we're going to start off. I have a first question for you, and just to kind of dive into things a little bit, and that would be, I'd love to know, if you wouldn't mind sharing with our audience, what's the difference between the law of emergence and the law of attraction? We hear so much about the law of attraction. Cool. Would you just kind of enlighten us a bit, please?
Yeah, and this is, you know, for some of you who maybe have heard me speak before, I'm sure you've heard me talk about this. And for those of you that haven't, this will be really a very powerful distinction. And this is really at the heart of my work about the end of self-improvement and the struggle of self-improvement. And basically, the law of attraction is it's a law that works. It operates. It operates in the realm of cause and effect, and that basically most of us know what it is, that if you hold a particular vibration, you know, through your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotions, you create a predominant vibration, and through that predominant vibration, you will attract into your field a similar vibration in the form of some particular person, place, thing, or condition. That vibrations are, they attract each other. And so when you hold a certain level of thought or belief, you attract a similar thought or belief, which will show up as that particular condition. So we understand that. And the biggest problem with the law of attraction and with most self-improvement approaches is that they're coming from a premise that we are lacking something that we need to attract, that we are somehow broken and we need to fix ourselves, that we are wounded and we need to heal ourselves. And that the problem is that no matter what technique we use then from that premise, we're always sending out a vibration. We're always starting from a belief system that we're broken, that we're lacking, that we're wounded, that life is hard, that there's something missing, etc. And even if we use all the right so-called techniques, we're still going to end up manifesting that state of consciousness. And so even if we manage to will ourselves into the best case scenario to manifest some greater wealth, for example, you know, a bigger paycheck, as I like to say, we'll just end up feeling broke or literally being broke at a higher income bracket. Because the consciousness of lack that was the causative factor behind that work we were doing to attract more is what we end up getting back. You know, so we manifest more, but we manifest lack at a higher level. Or we get a bigger house, but we feel even less at home. Or like a friend I once knew who I talk about, he manifested through the law of attraction a Mercedes. And then when I spoke to him a couple weeks later, he was in terrible despair because he couldn't afford to keep it up. And now he was trying to pray himself out of the mess he had attracted himself into. And it was in the shop for like the third time, and it was costing him all this money. He had manifested or attracted a Mercedes, but he hadn't developed Mercedes consciousness. And so the law of emergence, in contrast, is based on a fundamental premise that's fundamentally different from most of these teachings, is that you already have it all. This is the real secret behind the secret, is that just as the oak tree is already in the acorn, and the acorn doesn't have to attract an oak tree, it doesn't have to earn an oak tree, it doesn't have to achieve oakhood, it doesn't have to become worthy of being an oak, it doesn't have to go out and build an oak, it is an oak tree. And when the conditions are right, oak tree naturally emerges. And so the fundamental principle of the law of emergence is that you're already the thing itself, your destiny of greatness, your infinite potential is already within you, as you, and is you. And when the conditions are right, that potential naturally and even effortlessly begins to emerge. And it may seem to some of you like I'm speaking semantically different, but it's a fundamental difference. It's why one of our master teachers, Jesus, of many master teachers, said, pray believing that you already have, that you may receive. And he understood that you had to already be in a place of knowing that you already have it. Not as a trick, but really knowing it, really feeling it, really being in contact with the very reality that I'm already it. I already have it. And from there, you're not really praying for anything or affirming for anything. You are praying from. And so you're not trying to attract anything. You're literally opening up and radiating and allowing for that which is already within you to begin to emerge. So that's the biggest distinction. And if we just stopped and meditated for the next hour on just that idea alone, it could be the implications of it would totally change our lives.
Well, it would be huge, wouldn't it? It would be huge because you so succinctly defined the distinction, and I don't know that there's a lot of attention drawn to the fact that the law of attraction, like you mentioned, still has that overall essence of lack. We're not enough. We're not receiving enough. We don't have enough. And yet if we just work a little bit harder to vibrate at a higher level, then we possibly have the potential to attract more things to ourselves. But,
exactly.
But to some degree, we're still not satisfied. We're constantly looking. And so the law of emergence is that we are as ourselves, which would relate to the I am statements, we are enough in ourselves. So we want to really believe wholeheartedly before we actually see the effects, the results, or the outcome.
Yeah, it's analogous to the way we operate in our life, both from the success teachings. I mean, obviously, when we really are completely unconscious of any of these metaphysical principles, we're really doing it oftentimes. But even with the metaphysical principles, they're often just spiritual materialism, and we still are perceiving everything from a material perception. And it would be analogous to an acorn thinking and believing that the oak tree is somewhere out there in the forest. And if it just does the right work, prays, affirms, creates a great vision board, you know, is a good nut, you know, whatever it believes it needs to do and be, that it will somehow either attract the oak to it, or it will somehow be drawn to the oak. And that sounds ridiculous, of course, because we understand how nature works, but that's exactly how we operate most of the time. And then we wonder why our goal, our dream, is always somewhere in the distance, on its way, or if we manage to get it, it still doesn't feel like it's part of us. It's like it's attached to us, but it's not truly coming from us, and so we don't really own it. And it's kind of like, another analogy is kind of like the beach ball consciousness. We know we're having to use all our efforts to hold on to this thing, and if we relax, the beach ball is going to fly up and hit us in the face. It's going to fly away. It's going to pop out of the water and go away. And that's the way we feel with so much of what we do manage to manifest from that lacking or separation consciousness. We don't really believe we own it. But when we understand that it's who we are infinite abundance. We are infinite love and infinite beauty and infinite wholeness. You can't add those things to you. And so when you know you are it, it's like it would be like water thinking it needs to attract wetness. Wetness is its nature. The oak tree is the acorn's nature. The butterfly is the caterpillar's true nature. Wealth and abundance and health and harmony and freedom and fulfillment and aliveness and everything we truly need to be all we were created to be is our nature, like wetness is to water.
So our spirituality, because it seems sometimes that people, when they're on a spiritual path, are looking, kind of as you mentioned, in terms of that separation consciousness, is looking to heal, that there's wounds, there's something wrong with us, we're not enough. But really, in essence, of what you're sharing is the spirituality, that connection to source, to spirit, the universe, infinite prosperity, infinite love, that's within us. That's who we are already. And then you mentioned prayer. So prayer, believing in who we are and what we radiate out in terms of what we receive. Could you share with us in terms of how our problems are our answered prayers? What's the connection between kind of integrating who we are in that essence, between prayer, what we're, and connected to who we are innately?
Well, it's a great question, and you started off with a great, you know, part of that description about how we think we're wounded and broken and we need to somehow fix or heal ourselves. And the only thing that we ever really need to heal, if you want to call it that, is our perception of reality. That it's all of our work isn't about setting things right, but about seeing things rightly. And that the only thing that heals is the consciousness of wholeness. In other words, you know, there is in the Old Testament, I think in Genesis, there is the scriptural statement that says, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God. And all that was created by the Word, and the Word was good, and it became flesh, and it dwelt among us. And nothing was created without the Word. And esoterically speaking, the Word is that perfect idea, or that perfect pattern, that divine design, that masterpiece of divine intelligence. And everything that exists was created out of that. And nothing was created besides that. And so if that's true, and that's every great religion says that same thing in some way, and what's really going on is that we're already literally living in paradise. We're already literally living in wholeness and harmony and abundance and joy. We're surrounded by it. We're enveloped in it. We are an expression, a unique expression of it. But we are dreaming a dream of being separate from it. Or to be more, I think, accurate, it's kind of like, you know, if you were on a train and you were driving down the train track and you were a child and you didn't understand the laws of perspective and you just didn't know anything about the three-dimensional aspect of this world, and you looked out at the end of that train track into the horizon, and it looks like the tracks come together. If you've ever looked at the train track, it looks like they actually come together. Mm-hmm. And now you're barreling down that train track, and you're a child looking at that where the tracks come together. You're going to get very afraid, and you're going to start doing all kinds of crazy stuff, throwing fits, please, daddy, mommy, help, save us, we're going to crash. And then all the parent has to do, if the parent was crazy, they would, oh, my God, stop the train. We need to fix the tracks, da, 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 all this stuff. But the parent, because they have a larger consciousness, goes, oh, honey, it's okay. They don't actually come together. We're going to be fine. And the child is reassured, and the train keeps going, and never do the tracks come together, and never is there a problem. Or there's the analogy of, the student, and this is based on the experience anecdotally that happened once in an Indian ashram, I think, a student where it was this, in a bathhouse, the bath area, and they had gone in there in the kind of the dark, and they stepped on a snake, and they were terrified, and they scrambled out of there, and they were like, oh my God, what are we going to do about this snake? You know, it's dead. The kind of snakes around here are deadly. You know, one bite and you could be dead. You know, did I get bit? Am I okay? What if I'm going to die? And they started freaking out. And the other students started gathering, like, but, you know, we practice peace. You know, do we kill the snake? Do we bring a snake charmer in? What do we do? And there was all this conversation about what are they going to do to get rid of the snake or to deal with the snake. And eventually the master came along and saw these very upset people and students and, you know, what's going on? And they explained what happened and what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And he said, just simply turn on the light. And they flicked the light switch on. And lo and behold, it was a rope that was coiled up, that was wet, so it was kind of slimy. There never was a snake there. And one final example, they did this study with to show the power of the mind. They took a match, and they would light the match in front of a student, walk up to a student, light the match, then blow it out. So it's a hot match. They would blow it out and then touch the student's arm with a cold match, but they would think it was the hot match that they had just seen burning. And within moments, the student, in many, many of the cases, would develop a heat blister. Wow. Now, it was never a hot match. There was never an actual problem there. But they perceived it was a problem, and so they experienced it as a problem. So all of these are analogous to what's going on in our life in general, that there isn't actually a problem, except for our perceptions. And our perceptions misperceive reality. As I like to say, we are experiencing a relative perception of our infinite perfection. And that our real work is to wake up to that wholeness and that perfection, and then to think and speak and act from that wholeness, rather than what we usually do is we try to, you know, move the deck chairs around on the Titanic, you know, or we're trying to fix the images up on the screen in a movie theater when it's being projected, you know, from the projector. And so that's the fundamental premise I want people to understand, is that first and foremost, the only problem we have is that we're living in a perception that's too small or too narrow or limited. And so when it comes to our problems being our answered prayers, as you go along and you set the intention to grow, you have a burning desire, you have an affirmation, you say a prayer, it's important to know that the minute you do that with sincerity, you've activated the emergent power within you. And that potential is instantly beginning to emerge. When you sincerely claim your wealth, you know, the title of this call, I believe, is How to Create Lasting Wealth. Or whatever's missing is what you're not giving, and how to create lasting wealth. And the minute that you affirm and sincerely claim your wealth, that wealth begins to emerge instantly. Prayer is instantly answered. But here's what happens. Because so often where you're praying from is a place of lacking in some way, that consciousness of wealth, that larger self, it now bumps up against the limited beliefs, the limited thought constructs, you know, the belief system such as it's a limited pie, it's a zero-sum game. If they get a lot, there's going to be less to go around. The economy's horrible. It's the government's fault. If only my parents had taught me how to handle money better. If only, you know, I'm just not worthy. You know, it bumps up against all these things. I can't afford it. The part of us that judges by appearances looks at our bank account and says, I'm wealthy. And then we look at our bank account and go, that's a bunch of BS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it bumps up against all that. So this larger abundance now trying to emerge, but it's bumping up against all of these contradictory beliefs, perceptions. And so then we experience this kind of shakeup. Now, when you understand how to process that, you can continue to let go of these limited beliefs. But because we're so close to them, we've identified with them, and they literally feel like they are our protection. These beliefs are likened unto the acorn shell. You know, we've identified as the acorn. And so when we pray, we look out the forest and see these mighty, majestic creatures called oak trees, and we just feel inside of us we're meant to be that. We're meant to have that. And that activates the oak within us. But now it starts bumping up against our acorn shell and making us really uncomfortable. And now it creates some inner pressure. And we feel like, oh, my God, I'm falling apart. I'm cracking up. I'm going crazy. My identity is something's wrong here. Because we're identified as the acorn, but what's happening is the oak of us is trying to emerge. The problem is that we have to die to the acorn identity. We have to let go of that protective shell that seems to and has, in fact, served us up to this point. And so when we resist that natural process of emergence, then, and especially if we continue to pray and affirm and do this kind of work and be exposed to it, that pressure will get worse and worse and worse until finally the shell starts to crack unwillingly and we are in crisis mode. Our life starts falling apart. The things we were doing no longer work anymore. Our relationships aren't working anymore. We get fired. Something goes, our body breaks down, our car breaks down. Now, from the old cause and effect model, we would look at it and say something's gone wrong, and we would then try to fix it. We would try to repair that cracked shell, or we would think there's something wrong with my shell. I'm just damaged goods, and we would go through all these things and continue to resist and resist and resist. But when we understand the emergence process, we start asking different questions. We understand that our crises are really evolutionary catalysts that are happening to get us to open to a larger life, to let go of what no longer serves us. You know, that just as there are certain seeds in the forest that literally require a forest fire to create the intense heat necessary to crack open and allow those shells to germinate, likewise, we sometimes need the intensity, the heat of our crises, of our problems, to cause us to ask deeper questions, to dig deeper into who we really are, to ask questions that allow us to open up. So some of those questions are, you know, who am I really? What is trying to emerge? What is the larger life trying to emerge by means of this problem or crisis? Who do I need to become, or how do I need to grow? What qualities do I need to embody or embrace in order to be at peace in the midst of this crisis? Who would I be, or how would I feel if I was through this crisis, if I was on the other side of it? What would I feel? What would the qualities of my life be then? And then we begin to embrace those qualities. So instead of trying to solve the problem, we use it as an opportunity to activate in these potentials within us. One other analogy I'll use is like a great story. You know, in a great story, you've got your protagonist or your main character, and they're kind of like an average person, and then they hit a crisis. And all these obstacles come at them, and enemies and antagonists and conflicts. And from the point of view of the character, it seems like the world is against them. But from the point of view of the author, they've designed that purposely to activate the heroic talents and qualities and abilities within that character, so that character can become the hero or heroine of the story and ultimately bring that new wisdom and that new level of equilibrium back to the world again. So the same thing happens with us. These crises are a call to adventure. They're a call to go deeper and to access our deeper potentials and qualities that we may otherwise have never tapped into. And so it's about asking high-quality questions. You know, Einstein said you cannot solve a problem at the level of thinking that caused it. And that's because that vibrational frequency where the problem is, your thoughts are part of that problem paradigm. They're part of that old paradigm. So you need to literally be able to grow beyond that and have a larger view of who you are, a larger view of life. And it's only outside of your known self that the answers to the next stage of your evolution lie. And that's what a crisis gives us the opportunity, or a problem gives us the opportunity to step into that larger framework. If we ask those high-quality questions and we name it good and we frame it as that opportunity.
So the crisis is really the gift, and it seems that quite often people don't recognize that a crisis is a gift because they just get so inundated or overwhelmed with the crisis that all they see is what's not working around them, and they allow it to push themselves down a little bit too far instead of recognizing that here's an opportunity or here's a gift to really stretch that next level in my life.
Absolutely. We just haven't been taught that. You know, we haven't been taught that our problems and our crises are gifts. We've been taught that, you know, in the dualistic Newtonian model and the dualistic, you know, sin and sinning and evil and good and evil, good versus evil, this whole dualistic model of the universe, which is completely false. It's a relative perception of reality. In reality, there is no such duality. And so we've been trained to fight the problems, to fight against the evil. The problem is that what you resist persists. What you fight, you fuel. Because the only power that any object has over you, any image, any idea, is the power you're giving it. And so crises, if we are willing to become present and still and to not fight it, but to begin to engage it and to embrace it and to embrace those parts of us that seem broken, that seem lacking. Sixth stage of Emergineering, which is about engineering the full emergence of your life, and I'll talk about this program at the end of the call tonight, but is called Embrace What Appears Broken. And this is really the time when we're in the crises or in the problem, which we're in right now as a country, as a planet. There's all kinds of problems and crises breaking out. The problem is that so many people are still viewing it as bad and as evil and as a problem, and they're trying to fight it, and they're not understanding that it's a gift that's calling for our own evolution. But individually, we have the power to begin embracing our life that way.
So you bring up a good point, Derek, and I wanted to ask you, because what's coming to me is, so you're talking about, you know, crises, what appears to be broken, and there's a lot going on so in the world. So not just in our own personal lives, but in the world. How do we look to integrate, or do we integrate? Do we look to deal with our own personal crises first, and then does that have an effect in terms of what goes out into the greater consciousness to bring that around? Because people tend to get so overwhelmed with what is going on in the larger picture, and sometimes I think that makes them fear their ability to cope, because they look at it as from a sense of coping, a sense of managing crises, a sense of being overwhelmed and anxious and stressed, and things are falling apart around them. And so, you know, is it possible to kind of look, okay, there's a greater picture, there's a global picture, so there's that greater consciousness. But if I allow this emergence to come in my own life and step into really who I'm meant to be and know that all the answers are within, does that affect us in terms of being connected to one another to affect the greater picture?
Oh, absolutely. Because understand that the whole world is a reflection of our individual consciousness. Our universe, from our perspective, is an outpicturing of our consciousness, because we are not merely a body, but we are an infinite state of consciousness. And so as we are changed, as our consciousness shifts, as we stop resisting and fighting and start activating and discovering our true potential, our true power, and start living from that, it has to change our experience. It has to transform everyone and everything that is in our awareness. Now, here's how that operates. Let's just say you're in a situation, a relationship, a job, wherever, and, you know, things aren't going well, at least according to you, and you start working on yourself. One of two things will happen. As you raise your vibration, as you awaken more to who and what you really are, to your real potential, your real vision, and you start living into it and activating that visionary vibration and all the things I talk about in the emergence and emergeneering, what happens is that environment or that relationship must begin to reflect that consciousness. Or if it's unable or unwilling, you will be moved into an environment that will. For example, I remember when I was an actor at one point, an up-and-coming, successful, growing, you know, increasingly successful. And then I had this brush-with-death experience while shooting a movie and really wholeheartedly began a spiritual journey. It was really just my consciousness was cracked open. And I ended up, after several months, I ended up becoming a waiter. So I went from being an actor to a waiter instead of a waiter to an actor. I did it in reverse. But it was a very intense experience because I was literally at one point I had to wait on a woman I'd started a movie with. And it was incredibly humiliating. And I began to use these principles, because I had discovered a lot of these way back then, to begin showing up as if this was my destiny, to begin taking all of these crises in my life and begin using them to ask deeper questions, you know, who am I really? What is the vision for my life? Begin to activate that visionary, those qualities, begin to then live into it as if it's real, as if I already am living my destiny, and begin bringing that larger me to bear wherever I am. And I began showing up at that job as if it was the best job in the world, as if I was living my destiny, as if I was a superstar, and I began giving excellent service and loving and helping and really working on myself and taking full responsibility for everything, and I got fired. And then they realized I hadn't done anything, that somebody had scapegoated me or something was mixed up, and they hired me back. And so now I was feeling even more of an outcast, and people were starting to get really suspicious of me, like, why is he so nice? Why is he so helpful? You know? And I began to continue to work in my own consciousness, take responsibility for everything I was experiencing, own everything, activate even more of my confidence, more power, more service, more excellence, more creativity. And people started writing letters to corporate. They're like, because it was like a 3-star restaurant, but people were getting 5-star service from me. And I got fired again. And this went on again. I continued to grow, and I cleaned up my own act. I found the places where I was lying, cheating, stealing. In the smallest little ways, I cleaned up my life. And I was more and more in integrity with my vision and with the abundance and the truth within me. And I got fired again. So finally, I decided to stay fired. And within a very short time, I got hired. And now I was being flown around the country, being paid thousands and thousands of dollars, wined and dined in 5-star restaurants. Now people were waiting on me. And I was living my life at the next level. And so what happened is that as I showed up, that space was not able to handle that vibration that I was bringing. And so it kept rejecting me. It kept spitting me out. And we know this from physics, that there's phase shifts. And if an atom starts vibrating at a higher or lower frequency, it'll phase shift up or down. It will be spun out of the orbit of that frequency. And so I was literally spun out of that. So I didn't have to go out in the world and try to, like, struggle and fight my situation and bemoan it and judge it. I had to bring more of who and what I really am present. And then my conditions began to evolve around me. And that's how it works. And then suddenly my life was taken to a whole new level. And this has happened over and over in my life in many ways and areas. But that's what happens as we show up. And then that's why it also says in I think it's the Old Testament, that 10 holy men can save an entire city. And or holy women. It didn't say women, but of course we know it could be women as men as well. And what it just means is that when the vibration of a group of individuals is lifted to a certain place and a certain critical mass is reached in consciousness, then their awareness covers such a large space that that environment must shift. And they even did some research with this. They took a large group of meditators and put them, I think it was in Washington, D.C., and had them meditate over a period of time. And during that period, while they were meditating and tapping into their true power and praying, the crime rate dropped dramatically for that week or two. And then when they stopped, it went back up to normal again. So what they discussed, and it was the statistical drop. It wasn't just a fluke. You know, through statistics and probability, it was a statistical drop that dipped and then stabilized again after they stopped. So absolutely, our consciousness, as we are, again, one other thing, I think it was the teachings of Jesus, he says, as I am lifted up, I draw all men and women unto me. And that's a statement of quantum physics, that as your consciousness is lifted up, you literally draw your environment and those people around you to that higher state with you. It's pretty powerful stuff.
Oh, extremely powerful, extremely powerful. And it reminds me that I know even when we've had, like, you know, crises, whether it's been earthquake crises, we've had crises on the oceans with oil spills, and they've had specific meditative groups organized worldwide that are like this. It's everybody's drawn to a call at a specific time and date, and they do a meditation for that area, you know, to affect healing. So and thank you for sharing that. It was beautiful.
Just to speak to the title of this talk, I believe this was the title we used, was Whatever's Missing is What You're Not Giving, and how to have, you know, lasting wealth, and we're talking about that right now. If we really get, you know, as I said before, that everything's in you, and when the conditions are right, it emerges, there's a fundamental, it talks right back to this fundamental principle, is that we've been brought up to believe that we are merely human beings, that we are merely bodies, and that we are bodies that are in the world. But really, we are states of consciousness. We are not in our body. Our body is in our field of consciousness. We're not in the world. Our world is in our field of consciousness. And that really and truly, this is not merely metaphorical or airy-fairy, but that really and truly, you know, when it says the kingdom of heaven is within you or nirvana is within you, that literally infinite power and abundance and every spiritual idea and quality is within us. And that's why whatever's missing is what we're not giving, because we've already got it all. We already are the whole thing, uniquely configured. We're like a composite idea in the mind of the universe, in the mind of God. We're like a unique way that God is knowing and being itself, like a unique individualized expression, or like a kaleidoscope. My mentor, Michael Beckwith, once said, we are holographic, kaleidoscopic expressions of life. And like, you know, in a kaleidoscope, everything is in there. It doesn't go anywhere. But when you turn the kaleidoscope, the whole substance of that kaleidoscope gets reconfigured into like this beautiful design. And then you turn it again, and the whole, everything that's in there gets reconfigured again into another beautiful design. But it's not like one design has less than the other design or something different than the other design. Each time you turn it, everything that is inside that kaleidoscope comes together in a unique configuration. And that's what we are. We are like these unique configurations of all of infinity. And so whenever we experience something missing or lacking, a crisis, whatever, it's a call not to go get something, but that we are being called to let something, more of us, out. That those burning desires are not clues of something we're lacking that we have to go get. They are clues of something that's within us that's trying to get out. And that, you know, when you've ever heard, what's that saying? If you think something should be done differently or better, you're the person that should do it, or something like that. Mm-hmm. That basically, wherever we're experiencing a problem or a crisis or a lack, that is because we are being called to activate and begin to radiate and express more of ourselves. And when we do that, we start to, when we shift the whole flow of our life from trying to get anything to seeking instead, where can I give? Where can I serve? How can I shine and express and share more of me? Tapping into the more of us, letting more of it out. The more we're willing and able to do that, not only do we start to serve and to help people around us, but we literally activate this latent power and abundance and everything we've been trying so hard to get. We start literally radiating it into our experience. And it will look like stuff showing up. It will look like more abundance, more and better relationships, more opportunities. But that's not really what's happening. What's really happening is it's emerging in the field. It looks like it's being attracted, and we call it attraction because it's convenient. Just the same way that we say the sun rises and sets. But it really doesn't do that. The sun has never risen or set. The earth is just revolving. But we say it rises and sets. You're never attracting anything to you. You're always radiating it into your environment invisibly, and then it appears in the environment. So we literally can do that. We are divine generators. And a generator doesn't receive energy. It generates it. It creates it. So that's the power that we have, and that's the core of this talk tonight that I want people to get, is that whatever's missing is what you're not giving. And that's not a judgment. That's a statement of absolute power. That means that nobody can ever withhold your good from you. No situation, no condition, no past experience. You know, it doesn't matter what you got or didn't get as a child. It doesn't matter what's going on in the economy. Whatever's missing is what you're not giving, and you have the power to activate it and to begin to radiate it. Sorry, I went off there a little bit, but I just had to share that.
No, don't be sorry. No need to be sorry. I appreciate everything that you've said, and you've said it in such a heartfelt manner. So it was very generous of you. And you know, and it reminds me, I've heard it said numerous times. You know, as the rays of the sun are never separated from the sun, neither are we ever separated from God, from Source, from Spirit. And so I wanted to step in just a little bit more in terms of what we are being called to do, what we are being called to step into, what we are being called to become, which is more of us. And it, earlier in the call you mentioned in terms of how we have this conditioning, that fear-based conditioning, which really, you know, is connected to either the ego or perhaps what you might consider the shadow side. So what do we do in terms of, well, I understand in terms of asking those deeper questions, looking for those greater questions, asking a better question and digging deeper and deeper and recognizing that we're being called to a greater level of who we're meant to be, stepping closer, you know, stepping into our wholeness, stepping out of that fear. Is there importance at all in terms of embracing our shadow side? And if so, what would that be? What would that look like?
Oh, absolutely. It's imperative. And I just was working with Debbie Ford recently, if you know who Debbie Ford is, who's the queen of the shadow work. And, you know, and that's part of stage 6 of Emergeneering, which is embrace what appears broken. And understanding that the shadow is just the light in potential. In fact, the shadow itself is nothing. The shadow is what appears when there is something blocking the light, and it casts a shadow, and that thing that's blocking it is just a judgment or a misperception of the light, and it creates a shadow. And that shadow can sound like, you know, it looks like a judgment. You know, wherever we look out at the world and we have a strong, harsh judgment about something or someone, that it's bad, that it's wrong, that it shouldn't be that, or we look at it within ourselves and say, that's bad, that's wrong, that shouldn't be that, we are identifying a part of our dark shadow. And there is the dark shadow and the light shadow. There, as we evolve when we're growing up, we have everything with us, and then we have experiences. And as we have experiences, we start to say, okay, I'm that, I'm not that. I'm that, I'm not that. You know, we have a painful experience around somebody being greedy, and we say, I'm not that. And so what happens is greedy becomes part of our shadow. And then we create a mask to compensate for that energy of greediness. We become generous, and that becomes our mask. So greedy becomes our shadow, generous becomes our mask. And it's usually generous to a fault. It's usually overcompensating generosity, right? Or we experience something and we go, you know, somebody's controlling us, and it's just really, really harsh. And so we say, I'll never be that way. That's terrible. And controlling becomes our shadow. And then being the free, living, fun, loving, free spirit without any structure becomes our mask. And then what happens is as we grow up, we eventually everything becomes part of our shadow or our mask or our ego. And we say, I am these things and I'm not these things. And then the I'm not gets projected out onto the screen of our experience as the people and the conditions and the things in our life that don't work for the dark shadow. Or we also will, there's a lot of things that we'll say I'm not that are positive, like I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, I'm not abundant, I'm not smart, I'm not intelligent. And those get projected out, and those are the people. So we either have the people and the conditions that really anger us and push our buttons, and that's our dark shadow, or the people and the conditions that really attract us, that we yearn to be like. They're like, oh, you're so amazing, you're so wonderful. That's our light shadow. So we're projecting our power on one hand, and we're projecting our unredeemed power on the other hand. And so when we're in the midst of a crisis, then we can begin to work with our shadow, and we can look at that area that's not working so well and look at what we hate about ourselves or about that. You know, let's say we're overweight. Or you could say, let's say we're, you know, the call is about wealth. We could say that we're, you know, struggling, and we just hate being broke. You know, we hate being lacking or being broke. So then one of the things we could do is we could begin to embrace the shadow of lack and limitation. And we can ask ourselves, you know, where in our time, in our life, did we first feel that way and trace it back to discover its roots? When we first felt that way and began to remember an experience where that happened, where we first started thinking in a certain way, maybe we began to believe that money was bad, that success equaled, you know, was the root, money was the root of all evil. Or I know for me, the more successful my dad got, the more our family started to fall apart. And so I decided that success was bad, was painful. That became a shadow. And we might discover that, and then we could look at, for me, and this, a lot of us experience this, I also then, as my dad left and we ended up struggling, and we ended up living in a little one, you know, in somebody's garage, in their little room, makeshift room in their garage, and I remember feeling like it was horrible and I would never, ever be broke, and that being poor was horrible. So I was in a double bind. Being poor was horrible, and being successful was bad and painful. And a lot of us struggle with that in this society. And so I had to embrace both of those. And so somebody could work with that. They could say, they could look at the quality of lack or limitation or poverty and begin to ask, you know, what is the gift in this? How has this feeling or this painful feeling of lack or poverty, how has it been a blessing? What has it taught me in my life? Has it taught me to appreciate what I do have? Is it because of not having a lot that me and my family, me and my sister, my mom, even though we hated being together so much, we actually got so close because of it? Like that was a gift of limitation and lack and poverty? Is it because of the lack that I became really interested in abundance, and I began to study abundance, so that the lack drove me to become really, really, ultimately to begin to master abundance. So you begin to look at that so-called bad quality and ask, how has it been a gift in my life? How has it blessed me? How has it taught me? What has it taught me? How have I grown because of it? It is our deepest pains drive us to our greatest realizations and our greatest riches. And as you discover that, you begin to unwrap the gift of the shadow and see that it never was your enemy. Lo and behold, that shadow was one of your greatest allies. You know, you've heard of people that have gotten sick and they hate sickness and hate their sickness. And then years later, they look back and say, it was the greatest gift of my life. And so wrapped up in the shadow is a gift. If we're willing to embrace it that way and unwrap the gift and begin to expose the power of it, then we can ask the shadow part of us, okay, what do you need from me to take a constructive place in my life so that you don't need to make so much noise? You don't need to be projected. You don't need to cause a fuss. What do you need from me? And then you might, if you really listen, you might hear. You know, maybe that if sickness is something we struggle with, then maybe, you know, or it's telling you, I need you to honor your body more. I need you to rest when you're tired and not push yourself so much. If lack and limitation, maybe the shadow of lack and limitation tells you, I need you to really, really honor what you do have. I want you to really honor and pay attention to all the abundance and good that is in your life. I want you to really honor and pay attention to what really matters. I want you to be more generous. You know, whatever it is for you, it'll be different. And then now you're integrating the shadow. Now you're getting its gift. You're starting to forgive it. You're realizing it was your friend, it was your ally, that all along it's been trying to push you to grow. And now you realize what it needs from you so it doesn't have to act out and cause problems. It's like a child that's acting out. You're finally listening to it. And now you can hold it and bring the shadow into your heart and really love and embrace that little child that's been acting out. And just, you know, I love you. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for the gift. I'm going to listen to you from now on. You know, and you really just love that part of you. And then it's like it begins to integrate into you. And now what happens is you have a tremendous greater degree of compassion for yourself. And you'll have a greater degree of compassion for that all those other people that may be expressing that in your life, and this is the great mystical magic of this process, you'll begin to discover that very few people, a much less people show up in your life with that shadow quality because you're not projecting it anymore. And if they do, rather than it causing it to bring out anger in you, it'll bring out nothing but compassion and love, and you'll become a healing influence for them. And the same is true with our positive shadows. You know, and one of the ways to know your positive shadow, like I said, is just look out and around you and look at all the things that you just wish you were like or wish you had more of or think they're so amazing or beautiful or powerful or brilliant. You're just seeing your own unclaimed power. And you get an opportunity. When I work with people in the Emergeneering process, in stage one, seeing the completed vision, we work with that, the light shadow, to begin embracing your power and to begin understanding your real purpose. Because for many of us that don't know, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? It's shouting out at us all over the place. But we just don't recognize it because we're projecting it out onto other people and events. And so working with your light shadow can help you to excavate your true values, your true vision, and your true purpose as well.
What a beautifully empowering question. What's the constructive place that this holds in my life? And I can see it on both sides, because I think we're so easy, so quick to judge ourselves, and definitely so quick to judge other people, not recognizing that perhaps what we're seeing in another person is a direct mirror image of something that we haven't accepted in ourselves. And at the same time, when we admire those beautiful qualities and traits of another person, we don't necessarily stop and think, oh, so those are the qualities that are wonderful and beautiful about myself that I'm equally reflecting. And so what a very powerful question that you could actually use as a mantra throughout your entire day. What is the constructive place you have in my life? So the good qualities, the qualities that I'm just kind of struggling with, that I'm pointing at other people. And so thank you for that. That was just beautiful, beautiful. And I think it would be a nice thing for people to integrate into their daily practice when they're beginning to ask questions, you know. So what is the constructive place that you hold in my life? And Derek, this
yes,
is different.
Absolutely.
Please go ahead.
What's that? Yes,
I was, what I was
doing. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's been fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I just happened to notice that our time has gone by so quickly, and the conversation has just been absolutely beautiful. I wanted to ask, if I may, if you had a process that we could share with everybody, because I know that it's just been such a beautiful experience with the new wealth experience. It's always such an interactive type of experience with the conversation, with the processes, and I know that you possibly have a visualization, and I wondered if we could have the benefit of sharing that with the listeners while they're staying tuned with us right now.
Yeah, and normally the process that I do is the visualization, vibration, radiation process. I could do that again. I was also thinking another process about helping them to reverse the flow of whatever's missing is what you're not giving. You know, most people are out there waiting for something to change or to get something, and I wanted to maybe just briefly bring them through that, and then we'll see if time permitting, I'll take them through the radiation process as well. Would that be okay?
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
So I want to just ask people just to take a moment right now and understand that we've really packed a lot into this call. I'm always so amazed how much it can take a whole weekend to teach some of these principles, but really if you just meditate on this call, there's so much in this that we've talked about. There's so much here. It's like a great reduction, like in cooking where you have a reduction with like butter and you keep retaking all the liquid out until all you have is just pure essence. There's like just such pure essence in this call. If people could just take one little taste of it and go away and meditate on it and come back, they're going to just, I think, get so much. But we're talking about, you know, whatever's missing is what you're not giving. And that's, again, not a judgment, not like, oh, my God, it's my fault. It just means it's always an opportunity for you to access, activate, and radiate more of who you are. And this is the ultimate empowered realization. When you realize that, never again can you be a victim of anyone or anything. Now, for some of you, that might be bad news because it's like, wait, what? You know, I can't be a victim. I got to let go of all of my excuses. But ultimately, that's what your soul really yearns for. So I want you to take a moment. Close your eyes and just reflect on those areas in your life where you're trying to get something from someone or where you're perceiving a lack of something. And you can kind of close your eyes and you can journal through this or just stay in a meditative place. And what I want you to do, in fact, maybe you can just write this down or for now think about it, but imagine you've got the person or the situation that you're trying to get something from, and you could write that on the left hand of a piece of paper if you've got that handy. And on the right side of the paper, I want you to write down what it is you're trying to get from them. Now, if it's a physical thing, like let's say it's money, you're waiting to get some money, then, you know, certainly as part of your giving practice, one of the greatest ways to activate more wealth and abundance is to tithe, to give of your substance, to give of your money. And we're not really talking about that tonight, but it is part of the whatever we are missing is what you're not giving. Overall giving practice is finding some place that inspires you and anonymously giving, even if it's just a few dollars. It doesn't matter how much to begin with, but that you give as a play, not to get anything in return, but because you're activating this truth that you already have infinite abundance, and so you're freely giving back to the places that inspire you. So tithing is a very powerful one. So if you're looking to get money from someplace, tithing, you know, is a very powerful process to get the flow reversed outward, to let it flow out from you. But also what you could begin to do is to look at what does that money represent? What does that money stand for? If you're waiting to get some money from someone or something, imagine if they gave you this money, what would it mean about you or about them or about life? Just be with that for a moment, if it's money for you or whatever the physical object is you're waiting to get. A new car, a new house, a new job. You're waiting to get something. You're waiting. What is the quality that it would represent? Would you feel more powerful? Would you feel appreciated, respected, valued, loved, safe, secure? What's the quality that that object would represent? And then you want to write that quality down on the right-hand side. So you might have that person or that job, and then the thing you're waiting to get from them and the quality that it represents. Okay? Now, you can also look at a relationship and look at where you're waiting in a relationship, an intimate relationship, to get some love or validation or approval or respect. And so you would write that down in the right-hand column. So you'd have the name of the person, Bob or Susie, and then over here you'd have love, respect, validation. And now if you're really bold and courageous, you can look at an area where you feel particularly angry or resentful or upset about not getting something, you know, where you're at a job and you've just are so upset or resentful about not getting validation or approval or a relationship where you're so particularly upset about not getting appreciation. And so you might feel particularly resistant in that area. And then you want to just look at them and say, you know, what is this person? Look at the person in your life that's most important. Or maybe you want to look at that area in your life you're trying to fix or change the most. What are you trying to get from them? What do you believe they owe you? And then you want to write that down. And understand that what's really going on here from the emergent point of view, what you're really after, your ego thinks it's after getting something from that person, but what this situation is showing you is a quality of your own being that's trying to emerge. You're literally pregnant with this quality, and the baby is kicking, saying, I'm here. But as it gets interpreted through your ego that is projecting, it looks to that person or that place or that job and thinks they have it. It's kind of like that little joke where the guy is out under a street light looking for something, and the guy says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm looking for my keys. I lost them. He's like, "Where did you lose them?" He's like, "Well, I lost them inside my house, but it's so dark in there. The light's better out here." Mm-hmm. And so we project it. And so whatever you're identifying right now as a quality that you've been waiting to get from someone or something or some area, and the more intense it is, the more the emerging power there is there. The first shift I want you to begin to just ease into is that the reason why you're waiting to get it and wanting to get it is because it's trying to get out of you. So now take a moment and now imagine this situation shifting. Close your eyes and feel into this and see that they're giving it to you now. Imagine you come home and your significant other comes up to you and throws their arms around you and says, "I just love you. I just need to tell you how much I appreciate you." Or there's a special dinner, or you walk into your office and they're like, "Surprise!" And it's this huge party to celebrate you. Go over the top here. Really imagine the best case scenario of you getting this quality, of this thing you've been seemingly lacking and waiting for. You walk into the office and people just congratulate you. You walk into the boardroom and they just give you a standing ovation. You come home and the whole place has been decorated for a special, you know, it's Valentine's tomorrow, so it's a special Valentine's dinner. Whatever. Or you get the phone call and you've just been hired, or whatever just really is the answer to what you've been waiting for and trying to get from this person or place. And take a deep breath. And just allow yourself to really sink into that feeling. you've got it now. And as you're feeling it, take another deep breath. And as you exhale, let that feeling expand in your heart, in your chest. Feel this energy expanding, this energy of love or validation or approval or abundance. Take another deep breath, and as you exhale, let it expand even more now, filling your whole body. Feel it and give it a color so you see it now literally filling your whole body. No struggling here, no pushing, just allowing. And another deep breath. And as you exhale, you allow this quality to radiate and expand beyond your body. You're literally enveloped in it now. Feel it just radiating from every pore of your being. See it in your mind's eye, radiating this color. And understand a couple things now. To whatever extent you're able to feel this right now, even if it's only a little bit of joy, a little bit of abundance, a little bit of validation, understand what you've just discovered here is that that feeling has nothing to do with that person. It has nothing to do with that condition. If you can feel a little bit of validation by just going into your imagination and activating it, you can feel even more and more and more. There's no limit. It never did come from them. It was never going to come from them. You're activating it and generating it right now. And this is why that particular crisis or lack appears in your life, to get you to activate that potential within you so that you can become more you, more free. And we're not done yet, because it's also that you can start giving in and radiating it and expanding the territories of your life and being a blessing in your life. So as you're feeling that now, just consciously see that person, that place, or that thing that you've been trying to get it from, and now radiate that energy to them. See that home, that office, just saturated with the color and the energy that you're now vibrating and radiating. See those people that you've been trying to get something from, just being blessed and radiated and saturated with this color and this energy. You're now radiating the blessing to them. You're filling it, you're overflowing with it yourself now, and you're radiating it to them. And if that brings up any resistance or any pockets of anger or thoughts like, that's not fair, that I have to do all the work, or they should do it to me, notice that part of you, and just imagine that it's like a person. Let that part of you take shape in front of your mind's eye as a person, and bless them. And just say, I hear you, I love you, I'm with you, and just give them that blessing now, that part of you. Fill them up. Saturate them. As you just breathe and let it continue to expand now, I want you to imagine that the earth is like a small ball in front of you. And so we're moving now from this exercise into the next part of this, which is the radiating process, where we did the visualization, vibration, radiation. And now just imagine the earth like a small ball and hold your hands out in front of it. And just feel this energy moving through your body now, gathering in your heart, through your arms and your hands, and pouring out of your hands and blessing the whole planet with this energy. And if you need to reconnect to the energy, you can take a moment to visualize again your ideal life, everything going right for you, the highest vision of your good. And as you feel connected with that again, just take a deep breath and let it expand into your field. Knowing that we're not visualizing to make that happen, but to activate this vibration within us. And then you have your hands facing this little small planet in front of you and just say a silent blessing. May every being, every creature, and all of creation be blessed exceedingly and without exception. Blessings unto everyone and everything unconditionally. And feel the grace moving through you. Feel it just activating your energy and pouring through you, blessing everyone and everything on the planet. And just know and imagine anyone you're meant to be with, relationships, family, friends, colleagues, business partners, just imagine right now that you are connecting with them. You're blessing them. You're in communion with them. You're one with all of them now. Your destiny is not in the future, it's right now. And just again, say the silent blessing, may every being, every creature, all of creation be blessed. Unconditionally and without exception. Just feel your energetic body expanding, radiating. And as this is happening, old karma is dissolving. Old limited beliefs and perceptions are being burned up in the field of this love and this light that you're now generating. Whatever no longer serves you or your highest vision is being burned up in this field of light that you're now generating. Whatever needs to be realized or known, activated, or accessed is now being brought to the surface by you generating it. Feel that. Accept that. Whatever's missing is what you weren't giving. Now you're giving it. Now it's beginning to show up because you are bringing it. You're activating it. You're releasing that imprisoned splendor. Feel it radiating from you. And now turn your hands back to yourself and confer that blessing on yourself. May I be blessed exceedingly, unconditionally, and without exception. Just feel yourself blessing yourself, holding nothing back. Feel the energy emanating from your hands to your heart. And then bring your hands to your heart. And just affirm yourself like you've never affirmed yourself before. The highest praise you've ever wanted to hear, give it to yourself now. I love you. You're amazing. You're brilliant. You're beautiful. You're powerful. You're confident and self-assured. You're a genius. You're capable. I know who you really are and what you're here for. I support you. I support you. I appreciate you. I respect you. You're awesome. Breathe that love in. Breathe that light in. You're filling yourself up. And just feel yourself being filled up. Feel those seemingly empty places being nourished, quenched. Take another deep breath and just feel a sense of gratitude. And just know that something magnificent has been activated here, something real. And it is now permeating your entire field of being and showing up as new insight, as inspired wisdom, guidance, direction, and compelling right action, transforming you from the inside out, showing up as the right relationships, opportunities, and whatever is needed for you to live your destiny of greatness. Feel that. Feel the agreement with that. Say yes to that. It's happening now. And I'm just so grateful for you to participate in this because as you have lifted yourself up now, you have literally lifted the vibration for millions on the planet. There are healings breaking out right now. People are having insights and ahas, feeling a little more joy, a little more lightness, their burdens lifted because you have lifted yourself. And for this, I'm grateful beyond words that you participated in this. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh, Derek. I just, you've just touched everybody's heart. I mean, what a powerful, powerful expression of self-love, and to be able to radiate that out to the world through moving our energy and feeling our hearts expand, and to bring it back to ourselves and to love ourselves that unconditionally and that completely. What an incredible gift you've just shared.
It's my honor. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It's amazing. I can just, my hands are pulsating. I can feel my heart, you know, just continuing to expand and to vibrate. And what a gift to give to ourselves on an ongoing basis, because so often we're definitely doing the opposite. We are not filling ourselves with love. And what a timely reminder to share an experience that lets us know what we're capable of doing and how far-reaching such a gift is.
Oh, yeah. You know, for anybody that are healers or teachers or coaches or authors, and they dream of a larger practice of touching more people, right then and there, they were living their destiny at a much higher level. And you can do that. And with my clients, I have them do that every day. And so every day, imagine if morning, in the morning, every day before your regular meditation or as part of it, and at night before you went to bed, you just took a little bit of time to do that, you would take your life to a whole new level. And you would just be, you would be living into your destiny rather than waiting for someday to be that person. You can be that person today because you are.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Our destiny, yeah, of greatness, and each and every one of us has that. Each and every one of us has that, is entitled to that, and have, like you just mentioned, we have the ability to live into that right now. So let's say yes to that agreement. Let's just make it happen, and let's stop waiting for something. Let's just create it ourselves.
Yes. Let's lose all the weight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I need to need to come back here a little bit. I will continue.
Come back.
Oh, I can feel your love. I can feel the love I have for myself. I can feel the love that everybody on the call has for themselves and for one another. And again, I'll just mention what a beautiful gift that we have the ability to radiate that out to other people and make such an impact at such a level in the world. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to... I'm going with that to take another breath, and then if I may I, you have such a beautiful offer at the end of our conversation, and if I may, could I ask you to speak to that so that we can continue to share this love and opportunity with everybody that's joined us tonight, and for those that will also be joining us through the replay after the call has ended?
Absolutely. And one of the things is that this process, or a version of this, I'm going to give it as a gift, actually, a bonus gift meditation to anybody that gets the program tonight. But I'll just tell you, you know, this work that I've done, it's taken me a couple decades to do this, and thousands of hours of meditation, and not to mention thousands of dollars of research and development to understand and organize this. And what this system is that I'm offering tonight, it's the first time I'm ever offering this. And it's the Emergineering system, and it's based on this revolutionary principle, the law of emergence, which we've been talking about, and this process of Emergineering, which is a 7-stage proprietary process. It's a unique process that helps you to engineer this emergence in your life or in any area of your life, which is the way nature intended it, not the way we've probably been taught how to fix and add and attract and achieve and all this stuff, but the way nature intended it, which is cultivating the right inner and outer conditions with love and care and joy, and then that which is already potential within us begins to emerge, like the oak from the acorn. And so this whole system, you know, we've talked a lot about it, you know, tonight. It's really a deep dive system that will help them master the principles for effortless manifestation and for this deeper, profound spiritual connection, where they'll really find that connection to that source of good in their life that can never be touched or diminished or harmed by the world. And that's what real freedom is about. When you really know that it's all in you and nothing and no one can ever hurt, harm, or endanger it, you're free. And you not only begin to manifest more in your life, but you become a beneficial presence wherever you go. And you step off the hamster wheel of self-improvement and attraction and all these struggling and just live from a place of wholeness and grow, you know, naturally. And so this system includes a lot. It includes a detailed vision workbook, where I'll walk you through step by step how to access and excavate the vision for your life. It includes 12 audios with over 10 hours of in-depth training, cutting-edge strategies, transformational guided meditations like the one we just had and others, and daily practices for applying this stuff and accelerating your own emergence and your own success. And I walk you through it. I mean, I've got the quick start guide to getting you, you know, going, getting the most out of this. So if you think that you can't do this, you're not able, believe me, anybody can do this program. I walk you through understanding the differences between the missing links for why so many of the things you've tried maybe haven't gotten you the results. I walk you through a much deeper dive understanding of the law of emergence that we just touched upon tonight. And then I take you into the 7-stage process of emergeneering, where you see the completed vision, stage one. I give you an additional bonus audio where I actually walk you through the vision workshop. And then stage two, cultivate the congruent conditions, where you start activating these vibrations so that you really start feeling like the person you are in potential. And you start walking around feeling like the success, feeling healthy, wealthy, abundant, successful, and in love, regardless of conditions, which is what will begin to activate that emergence in your life. And then stage three, create the quantum plan, where I walk you through how to take these principles and really engineer a plan so that you're not living life on accident, but you're really living life on purpose. And then in stage four, give what appears missing, I'm going to take you in a deeper dive into the processes that we just started tonight about how to really reverse that flow in your life to become a truly generative being where you can generate whatever that appears to be missing in your life. And then in stage five, which is the 9th audio, act as if you're it. You're going to learn the real role of action in your life, which is really a process of channeling this untapped potential rather than achieving it. And it really streamlines the process, reduces all that resistance, and really starts accelerating your results. And then in stage six, embrace what seems broken. I'm going to give you some powerful processes for taking some of those shadows and some of the things we talked about, and instead of just merely trying to heal yourself or get rid of stuff, how to integrate all of this and become truly whole. And how to also deal with those thresholds of consciousness that hold all of us back, largely unconsciously, and how to uproot those so that you can really take your life to the next level. And then stage seven, wait on the law. I'm going to deal with some of the practices about how to develop infinite patience that creates immediate results. And there's a whole lot about this stage, which is it's part of where the entrepreneurial curse is. So many of us start one of these programs, or we start something, and then we get bored or frustrated or hit a wall, or it's not fast enough, or we don't think it's working. We plant that seed, it's not sprouting quick enough, and we leave it and go plant another one, and meanwhile, that one dies. And we don't understand that it's digging its roots, that it needs to take time, and we need to have the patience and the tools to stay on track, to stay in the game, and to not keep changing. And if we're willing to, as the Zen statement goes, take the one seat and wait on the law of emergence, have that patience, then we will begin to finally, really and truly experience rich results in our life. And so that session talks about that. And then finally, I talk about how to become an emergeneer in your own life and how to live on the emerging edge. So there's a lot there. And now, like I said, this has taken me 2 decades, tens of thousands of dollars, but of course, you know, obviously that's not the cost of it tonight. Yes, it's $10,000 for this program, and you too can have it. Though it's worth it, I mean, I'd pay that many times over for what it's taught me and what it's brought me. it's also, you know, my coaching, personal private coaching is $1,000 a month, and so it's obviously it's not going to cost that either. But basically, all it's going to cost, and it's normally, by the way, a $400 program, but tonight it's only $97. And so it's like the cost of a cup of coffee at Starbucks for a month, and or less than the cost of a cup of coffee. And, you know, whereas at Starbucks you might get a temporary buzz, this program will help to lift your vibration permanently. And in addition to that, as I said, I'm going to throw in the bonus meditation that I just did, but an even longer version of it. And I'm going to throw in some other bonus audios and videos that are normally only come with my high-end coaching program, the $1,000 coaching program. And for those people who have not got my earlier system, the Law of Emergence, the Foundations, where I go really in depth into the Law of Emergence, you don't have to have that to work this program, but if you want to become a master at these principles, if you really want to take it further, then that's great. And I'm going to give that one at almost 90% off. If they want to get it, they don't have to. If they buy this program, they'll also be able to get that for only $47. And that's another 10-plus hours of training. And so all of this. And I'm going to throw in a free coaching call personally with me for the first, let's say, a dozen people. The first 12 people that buy this program are going to get a free one-on-one coaching session with me, which normally is $597. That's for real. If you call me tomorrow and ask for a coaching session, that's what it would cost. So you're basically, not only are you getting this program for free, but you're actually making money on the deal. So
that's incredible.
That's basically what my offer is tonight.
Wow. That's unbelievable, Derek. Thank you for such generosity that just continues to just grow and grow and grow. That's absolutely incredible. And forget Starbucks. I mean, let's just do something important with your life and let's just step into who you're meant to be. So, and all the tools are right there at your fingertips. So, you know, Derek.
One last thing I just want to say also, you know, just to really, really drive it home is, I mean, first of all, I believe you can outgive God. You can outgive the universe. The more you give from sincerity, the more, again, remember, whatever is missing is what you're not giving, the more the universe just pours and pours into your life. So that's why I freely have no problem giving all this away. And I want to also say that as with everything that I do, there's a complete risk-free money-back guarantee. If within 30 days they don't absolutely feel like they're getting many, many times their value, totally get their money back, no questions asked. So there's literally nothing to lose. Yeah. And they get to keep the bonuses and all that stuff as well.
That's incredible. Incredible. And what a beautiful way to end this conversation that has already been so fascinating, but to end it with a gentleman that has such integrity, and you obviously walk your talk, and that in and of itself is such a delight to have had this opportunity. Thank you so much for honoring all of our listeners with your generosity and your integrity. It just speaks so highly to who you are and what you do and how you show up in the world, and what a beautiful light for all of us to reach for as well. This has just been an absolute pleasure. I thank you so much for the conversation from your heart, from your generosity, for everything that you shared with us. And like you've mentioned, the value in this conversation alone, when they go back to listen to the replay and take the information in again and meditate on the virtues and the values of what you've shared, extremely, extremely powerful. So thank you so much, Derek. It's been an absolute
delight. You're
welcome.
Do you need to tell the people where to go get it?
We've mentioned it at the beginning. I'll mention it again right now, which is newwealthexperience.com/Derek. And Derek is spelled D-E-R-E-K.
Yes. And also, just another a little added bonus, if people want to get some additional free foundational work on the Law of Emergence, just to augment this training, they can also just go to lawofemergence.com as well.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. That's terrific. And everything's up on the replay link, and they'll have an opportunity. And again, another time, it's newwealthexperience.com/Derek, and Derek is spelled D-E-R-E-K. And once again, thank you so very much for the privilege of tonight's conversation. I wish you well, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the evening.
Likewise. It's been my honor.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.